This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to Earth Matters. My name is Tina Camilla. In the studio with me is Arthur Lukowski. He is the Special Envoy on Climate of the Minister of Foreign Affairs of the Republic of Poland. Ahead of the United Nations climate talks next month, he is in town to discuss Poland's preparation as host of the event and what challenges lie ahead. So, we're only days away from COP24, which is going to be in Poland. How is the preparation coming along?
Thank you. Good afternoon, first of all, to all this, to the audience. And I'm willing to report that we are on the good track to have a successful COP in Katowice. We've been working very hard for that together with the parties, and we expect them to come to Katowice with the political will to have a very important decision for the future.
Right. So you're in town for a short visit. I understand that it includes a meeting with our Minister of Energy, Science, Technology, Environment and Climate Change, Yeo Byin. What was the intention of that meeting, and could you share maybe some of the outcomes from that meeting?
My role and my job is to keep the communication with the parties, and Malaysia is a very important part, a regional partner for that process. And I came to Kuala Lumpur to hear what are the expectations of your government in terms of the final outcome of the COP in Katowice in Poland, and to share our vision of the possible decision to be taken there.
Mm-hmm. And you've also met with the Malaysian youth delegation. How did that meeting go?
Excellent, actually. Excellent. I feel very privileged of having the conversation with the young people and to take up all of this enthusiasm for changing. And especially those group I met in Kuala Lumpur was extremely keen to be in Poland, to be a part of that process, and to mobilize the governments to take a proper decision.
I know that you've been traveling quite a bit. Malaysia isn't your only stop. You were also recently in Indonesia, Japan, some countries in South America as well. Why is it important for you to make these rounds?
Keeping the contact and channeling the information with the parties is a key objective of my trips. Why? Because Poland is a presidency. The role of the presidency is to secure the process of negotiations, but at the end of the day, it is a party-driven process. So the countries and the governments will take the decisions. So our role as the presidency is to know where are the sensibilities, where are the interests, where are the problems the party might have. And my role is to have this communication with the parties, to be aware of that.
Yeah, it seems that climate change is only a topic that's discussed once a year, which is towards the end of the year when the COP is happening, and then it kind of fizzles out the rest of the year. Do you get a sense of that?
No. On the contrary, I think the end of the year, the COP, the Conference of Party meeting, is a accumulation of the discussion. And the process of preparation to the Katowice meeting in Poland started months ago. We came through the meeting in Bangkok. There was a session in Thailand, and there was a very fruitful meeting at the margin of the UN General Assembly in New York. Then we had the pre-COP meeting in Krakow, only to mention this three very important gathering of the parties. So the process is continuing, and the COP is intended to be accumulation of that and to take the final decision on the very precise items to be finalized at the COP. And it will be not the final stage of this discussion. Next COP will take place next year in December probably, and there will be another added value and added decision to be taken.
You were mentioning about the most recent meeting in Bangkok. Could you perhaps summarize some of the key takeaways from that meeting? So good progress was reportedly made in areas such as carbon markets, but, there were disputes about whether rich and poor countries should include the same types of information in their climate pledges, or how developed countries should report on their contribution to climate finance, and also the matter of where to include loss and damage in the rulebook.
The role of the Bangkok was exactly about narrowing the negotiations option we have on the table right now. After the maybe I should start with saying that in Paris 3 years ago, a Paris Agreement has been adopted, a very important piece of legislation setting the new architecture for tackling the climate change issue on the global level. But that time in Paris, we have agreed to meet once again in 3 years from 2015 to set up a legal system of implementing acts to make quite sure what are the rules of implementation of the Paris Agreement. That's why we have been mandated to have a meeting in Katowice in Poland to adopt the Paris Agreement Working Program, and we call it Katowice Rulebook. And the Katowice Rulebook will be a set of the legal decisions to be adopted in during the COP24. And we started this discussion on this legal decision some times ago, and the very important part of that discussion has been taking place in Bonn in May this year. Then there was a session in Bangkok when we were trying to narrow the number of options. They are still on the negotiations table and try to figure out what might be the future landing zone, what might be the possible compromises we can get. And that was exactly the role of the Bangkok session.
Right. And one of the most significant disputes during that meeting, I would say, would be whether the rules on the nationally determined contributions should be common to all or split between developed countries and developing countries. I mean, with your experience, I know that you've been doing a lot of work in climate diplomacy. With your experience, where do you stand on that?
I mean, you are completely right by saying that. In fact, the implementation of the rule or the principle of the convention, which is also inscribed in the Paris Agreement, that we should have common but differentiated responsibility for the climate change issue. And the definition, what does it mean common, and the definition, what does it mean differentiated, is the key issue. The issue of how we should go together and at the same time making our responsibility and making our effort differentiated and this effort to be corresponding to the capacities of the specific countries and the regions.
And coming back to Poland, the country is under or was under international pressure because of recent legislation that was passed where activists are saying that they are not going to be allowed to hold demonstrations freely. They're also worried about participants' privacy. How do you respond to that?
Well, it's not the issue, I think, you know, and in contrary, we pay a lot of attention for the participation of those who are not representing the countries and the parties, the governments, but those who are coming to Warsaw to show their engagement in the climate change issues. That's why we pay a lot of attention for so-called action agenda, the agenda where the non-state actors, the cities, regions, companies and the NGOs might provide the process of climate change with their voluntary actions, and that is our attitude.
Right, but demonstrations are almost tradition in the cause.
It is a part of that process, and that is reality. And be sure we can live with that, and
yeah,
we are quite happy to have such a great engagement of the non-state sector in that process.
All right, that's good to hear. I'm speaking today with Artur Lakowski. He is the special envoy on climate of the Minister of Foreign Affairs of the Republic of Poland. He's in town ahead of the UN COP24, which will be held in Katowice, Poland, from the 3rd to the 14th of December. When we come back, we're going to talk more about the US administration's role in the Paris Agreement, whether that's happening or not. We're also going to talk a little bit on the global public health impact of climate change, coming back after this on BFM 89.9. Welcome back to the show. It's Earth Matters. My name is Tina Camilla. In the studio with me is Artur Lakowski. He is the special envoy on climate of the Minister of Foreign Affairs of the Republic of Poland. Ahead of the UN climate talks next month, he's in town to discuss Poland's preparation as host. And he's been making his rounds around the country, around the world, actually. And we're going to talk a little bit about coal. Coal is a big issue. Last year, the US administration brought a coal panel, a fossil fuel panel at the climate talks, and Reuters had reported that they're planning to do the same this year. Why is that even tolerated?
The coal is a part of our energy mix, and that's the reality. And the transition to the low carbon, to the low coal, and to low emission economy is a process, and this process is being continued for the decades to come. We promised in Paris Agreement to have net zero emission, net zero carbon emission world in the second part of this century. So far the coal is the part of our reality, and we need to accept that.
And President Trump has vowed to not just increase burning of coal, he also intends to withdraw from the Paris Agreement. I think we're all aware of that. But now Brazil, which is the world's seventh largest emitter of greenhouse gases, elected a new president, Bolsonaro, who has also said that he plans to withdraw from the accord. Do you think that the Paris Agreement is falling apart?
It's true that the political landscape since Paris meeting changed. And it's true that this process is facing new challenges, and that's the matter of reality. And that's the reason why we understand that there is a time right now in Katowice in December this year to act and to take the decision. Because what we are communicating to the parties that the future won't be easier. The future won't be easier for taking the advanced and ambitious decision about the future of the climate change regime. So the act in Katowice is our message to the countries to answer this challenges we are facing.
Mm-hmm. One thing that I would say Malaysia and Poland have in common is that we are both coal-consuming countries as well. Katowice, the host venue, is one of Europe's largest coal-producing cities, if I get that fact right. And it is also one of the most polluted cities in the continent of Europe. Is this an opportunity, this COP24, is this an opportunity to change that image?
This COP is an opportunity to show that transition is possible. I would wish you would be able to compare the Katowice 30 years ago and now, and you would realize and the change, tremendous change, which has been taking place in Katowice and the Silesia region, which is Katowice ahead of. So the COP and the reason why we decided to organize the COP meeting in Katowice is to show that yes, we can. We can do this change. We can do this transformation. And despite the fact that Katowice is still a country depending on the high emitting industries, it's still depending on the coal mining, but we can show to the world how this region changed since 30 years. And that's the message we can convey to the world.
I understand that the Polish government has also expressed its intention to meet Europe's climate targets with new clean coal plants. What does that mean?
Poland is co-deciding, in fact, about the European Union climate agenda, because we are the member of the European Union, of course. And when we are talking about the clean coal technologies is something about to consider how we can use coal in more environment friendly way, and we see and we can provide the audience with the example how, for example, the new technologies might be engaged to increase the efficiency of using the coal. For example, today there are new coal plant facilities enabling to use the 45% of the energy which is embedded in the coal, which is the very unique value and very unique threshold. And that's the way how we can use the coal more efficiently. And that is exactly about the new coal technologies.
Right. And I would say that coal is pretty much the backbone of Poland's economy. What do you think of the general public sentiment in Poland when it comes to fossil fuel?
This is changing. This is changing because once again we decided to organize the COP in the center of the Polish coal industry to show how this industry has been changed and that the process of transformation is necessary and it is possible. So we can do that, but what we need money, we need time, and there's the first element we need. We need this transition to be just. What does it mean just? No social group should be left behind, and that is very important for keeping the support of the society for the transition. And the transition will be the matter of fact, and it will be not only in Poland, but it will be the phenomena worldwide.
You were alluding to the changes over the course of the past 30 years in Katowice. Would you care to elaborate on that? How much has changed over those years and what we can expect, I suppose, in the coming years?
I will give you one example. Next to the COP venue, there's a former coal mining facility. Today, this coal mining facility is a seat of the Silesia Museum. And that is the best example of how the region is changing. We are using the all industry facilities for the culture, for creating the jobs in the different sectors. We are creating, for example, the automotive e-mobility sector in this region, trying to find the new opportunities which are connected with the climate change agenda. And that's why the e-mobility is the second priority of the Polish presidency. We would like to show not only that the e-mobility might be the essential part of the solution to the climate change, but at the same time that e-mobility brings economic opportunities. So the climate change is not only connected with the threats, but it's also the economic possibility, the economic opportunity. And our way of thinking is to exploit this opportunity and to show that we can make not only the just transition, but also to profit from the climate change and to build the business case around that.
And besides economic survivorship, I think another issue about climate change or transitioning to address climate change is also our concerns about our health, global public health in general. Could you elaborate the relationship between climate change and, you know, health risks, whether it's a physical health or mental health?
The issue I mentioned before, the transport, is a best example, I think. You know, the transportation is growing. The people are moving. They need to new means of transportation. But at the same time, the emissions from transportation are growing, and we are not talking only about the CO2 emissions, but also the PM 10, for example, some ingredients which are very very desirable for the human being health, and that's why we are willing to change the situation by promoting the immobility concept for deployment of the e-mobility projects and to changing the transportation system into the e-mobility, first for controlling the emissions and then to improve the public health by improving the air quality.
Okay. And on October 8th, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change released one of the most, I would say, the scariest reports so far we've had on climate change, or and they're saying that the world would have to make unprecedented changes to meet the target of limiting global warming. What is your assessment of that report?
It's so early to have an assessment. I think it's an important advice from the scientific community, and this document will be duly analyzed during COP. We have a presentation of this paper, and within the Talanoa dialogue in the second week, the ministers will consider this advice, and they will give an answer and reaction to the IPCC 1.5 report. It's not doubt about that. So the COP will react on that. But what I would like to emphasize is exactly what you said: the unprecedented change. I would say the shift of paradigm is expected if we are willing to respond to the IPCC report. So, and we should be aware that this change will be tremendous. So there will be change which haven't been before. And that's the reason we are willing to make sure that every person is aware of the scale of this change, and this change would create some tensions, and these tensions will be also in the social life. So that's why we are proposing the just transition issue as a issue which is important, because we feel that adding the social aspects of the climate change when facing this unprecedented change we have to face in the future will be a great challenge for the governments as well.
The report seemed to allude to the fact that we might not be doing enough. Do you think that there's just not enough of a sense of urgency to take action?
There are two issues. In fact, there is the sense of urgency and the sense of ambition. And what we are gonna to have after Katowice is the Katowice rule book. So there will be a set of legally binding decision to set a scene for the discussion on ambition next year. We have agreed in Paris 2015 that by 2020. We should update and communicate the new national determined contributions. And the process of discussion on the national determined contribution would be possible only when having the Katowice rulebook in place. So, in my opinion, the Katowice should react to the IPCC 1.5 report by having the Katowice rulebook and setting the scene and preparing the discussion on the level of ambition and the urgency of ambition next year, to be concluding on the climate summit to be organized by the Secretary General of the UN in September 2019.
Just to come back again a little bit to the global public health concerns, what do you see are some of the major climate change related events or trends this year? Destructive hurricanes, perhaps, and whether that is climate change related or is that just a normal cycle, annual cycle?
It is not normal. So we can observe even in Poland the weather phenomena we haven't faced before and we haven't witnessed before. So it's a matter of fact, and discussing about the fact is not worth the time of our audience. And it is the question is how we'll react on that on the global level, because that's what is important right now, to have a global effort, global but differentiated, and how we would be able to in the future to have this global effort is exactly the question we need to address in Katowice.
Not to be dystopian in nature, but if we don't take action, what could be the possible future that we face?
The IPCC 1.5 report is answering to that question very clearly.
The report describes a world of worsening food shortages and wildfires and a mass die-off of coral reefs as soon as 2040. The authors found that if greenhouse gas emissions continue at the current rate, the atmosphere will warm up by as much as 1.5 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial levels by 2040, inundating coastlines and intensifying droughts and poverty. Previous work had focused on estimating the damage if average temperatures were to rise by a large number, that is 2 degrees Celsius, because that was the threshold that scientists previously considered for the most severe effects of climate change. So this year's talk is particularly important. It is said to be the most important COP since the Paris 2015 climate talks because it is set to finalize the rule book that you've been mentioning throughout this conversation. How far along are we? Do you think that we will be able to address all the concerns, all the disagreements that had happened over the past few meetings? Do you think that the rule book will be finalized at this COP, or will we foresee perhaps smaller meetings throughout the course of next year leading up to 2020 when the Paris Agreement comes into effect?
I hope not, because I explain you the process we are in. So we decided in Paris to have by 2020 the discussion on the level of ambition, and the discussion is to take place next year. So to make this discussion informed enough, we need to have a COP decision on the rule book in Katowice. When prolonging this process, we will make this discussion on the NDC, on the National Determined Contribution, not transparent enough. And I hope that we will take the decision in Katowice, and we are determined to have such an agreement there.
All right. So we're only a few days or a couple of weeks away from COP24. Your final message on climate change ahead of the meetings?
We invite the political world to come to Katowice and to allow us to take the decision on the rule book, because the rule book is that what we need right now to start the discussion on the level of ambition next year and to answer properly the challenges have been raised by the IPCC report 1.5.
All right. Thank you so much for your time. Is there anything else you would like to add before we end the show?
Yeah. Please come to Poland. We expect a very strong Malaysian delegation. We expand the youth delegation to come to Poland. And I hope that they will come back with a success, and they would share with you how Poland is a nice country worth seeing, you know.
All right, wonderful. Thank you so much for your time. That was Artur Lukowski. He is the Special Envoy on Climate of the Minister of Foreign Affairs of the Republic of Poland, speaking to us about Poland's preparation as host of the UN COP24 meeting in Katowice, Poland, from the 3rd to the 14th of December. I'm Tina Kamila on Earth Matters, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.